Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Oh, good. You're sitting down. Promise not to fly off the handle when I tell you this.
Hello, everybody. Hiya. This is Again With This, Melrose Place. Today's episode is...
I shouldn't make you laugh either.
It's really bad. In episode 23, the younger son also rises, and oh boy, we're out of theme. Sorry. See you next week.
Are your hosts, me, Sarah G. Bunting, and Tara Ariano, and Dave is dead. Hello, Tara.
Welcome, listeners, to How It's Gonna Be, apparently. Hi, Sarah.
I'm helping. Hello, Tara.
Before we try to get into this episode, we want to tell you that on our Patreon, again with this bonus episode 171, dropping December 8th, is let's watch Jason Priestley and Liz Vassy in the Christmas episode of True Calling. This is season 2, episode 6, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas, ... Again, this is also, I learned in preparing my conversation about this, it's the lost episode of this show. It was apparently barely aired. We'll get into it, and you're going to miss it all unless you're in the Patreon to hear it. So you should join us, againwiththispodcast.com/club. When you join, you get all of the archives, and there's so much at this point. So it's a truly good value, and we really appreciate everyone who is there. Sarah, are you ready to start talking about this episode?
I am, but first, I will add that club membership also gets you access to our Discord, where, as we speak, people are talking shit about Kerr Smith for his remarks on the gay lifestyle, and I am once again here for it. This and so many other things are available to you with a Patreon membership. We would love to have you, and if you are already a Patreon supporter, we thank you. We really appreciate it. We couldn't do this without you.
We really couldn't. Let's start with our B plot. Michael's sexual harassment scandal explodes. Jane wakes Michael up, but he wants to skip work, he says. She reminds him that their deal was that they would both work insane hours to pay off their legal bills. And by the way, she says she committed to working overtime as though Amanda pays her by the hour, which I'm sure she does not. So Michael tells her about his suspension. She guesses who the complainant is after having seen him flirting with Audrey in the hall. And she makes Michael deny that Audrey's claims have any merit, which Jane then doesn't believe any more than Michael ever believed that Jane didn't fuck Alex this time. Because this is what comes of being a pig all your life. Michael, sorry about it. Mm-hmm. Jane does, however, decide to do her own investigation and just goes ahead and enters a private locker room at the hospital where she does not work in time to see Audrey lotioning her legs. Jane introduces herself, and Audrey calmly tells her she is sorry for Jane that this lawsuit is happening, but Audrey's a victim and Michael harassed her. Clip 2.
Oh, he says that you have an overactive imagination.
I didn't imagine anything, including the promotion he promised me if I had sex with him.
Michael never had to use leverage to get a woman in bed.
Well, maybe I had the good sense to hold out for what I wanted.
And what exactly did you want?
A step up, that's all. A little help.
So you cooked up a sex scandal and filed a fantasy lawsuit?
No fantasy involved. Let's see. Michael likes to start with a foot massage, but he'll actually lick my toes if we're in the bath.
That's enough.
What's the matter? Too close to home? If you're looking for a liar here, why don't you try the guy who's cheating on you?
Ooh. I mean, it is damning.
Yeah. First of all, really, Jane? And second of all, I was very distracted throughout the scene by the fact that it was just a battle of the bad hair of the late 90s. It is very bad. Mm-hmm. Not flattering at all. These are lovely women. Do better, 1999.
Yeah. It's also distracting that Audrey is in just her bra and then a half slip, which, like, who was wearing a half slip in 1999? Like, honest to God.
Yeah, truly.
That night, when Michael gets home, he discovers that Jane has changed the locks. This is hard to do when you're surprising a partner who is out of work, so kudos to Jane for pulling it off.
Mm-hmm.
When Michael yells for her, she opens the door and throws several packed bags at him because he is moving out. And there's a very funny shot at the end of the scene where Michael looks at the pool where some of his stuff has landed and just sadly regards his tennis shit like floating pipes. Quite good.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, Peter sits next to Michael in a meeting of the hospital board, the head of which, Barry Denoff, soon tells him that the hospital is not going to indemnify Michael. He is played by, hey, it's that Joseph Campanella, who was, among other things, Anne's ex-husband on the original One Day at a Time. He was also a love interest for Barbara Stanwyck in the first season of The Colbys, of all people.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving Michael the twist in the wind is exactly what Michael was told would happen in the sexual harassment seminar, so he shouldn't be surprised, except that he slept through a lot of it, as we discussed. And Michael's basically like, the rules don't apply to me, though. And Barry's like, guess again, you're going to have to resign. Michael refuses, in which case they'll be forced to fire him, and his medical license will be put under review by the state board. And oh no, you know how tough those motherfuckers are from the time that nothing happened to Peter when he tried to murder Amanda. Michael asks how he is supposed to make a living under those circumstances, and that's not really something the board is that concerned about. When Michael storms out, Peter follows, saying he is sorry. Michael's like, at least he still has a job working for the Children's Foundation, but about that, no. And Michael also has to hand over the books. Well, he doesn't even know where they are, because Jane threw out a bunch of his stuff, probably including those books that he had at home for some reason. Peter wants him on his desk tomorrow, along with Michael's resignation. Well, clip three.
Peter, I'm going to fight you the whole way on this one, buddy. You and that whole lousy board of directors.
Don't yell at me, Michael. I'm not the enemy here.
No, you're just a foot soldier in the war against a little guy. The real enemy here is Big Brother. Yeah, that's right. Amy, you want somebody breathing down your neck, snooping into your personal life every day, huh?
No, not me.
No, I thought not. And you? You want somebody to tell you how to think? Huh? Or you want somebody to tell you what you should say? Huh? Or whether or not you can look at a beautiful woman and not have somebody make a federal case out of it? These are our rights. Our God-given rights as red-blooded American males. And these rights cannot be abridged. I have passion in my veins. That's who I am. Are we going to be denied our inalienable rights to be who we truly are? I think not, my friends. I think not.
Bravo, Michael. You're right.
He's not, but that 8 o'clock, which is literally the only reason, A, why it was there, B, why he wasn't given another take to say inalienable correctly. I mean, yeah. My sympathies, but Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really? A Norman Ray moment for him?
I know, it's wildly unearned, and yet Amy's, you're right, really got me.
I love the day players in the background being like, uh-huh, okay, watermelon. Like, yeah. Okay, oh my God. Great job, everybody.
The only thing this scene was missing was for Dr. Visconti to be nearby for some reason so that Michael could include him and be like, what about you? Don't you want to be able to fuck nurses? And he'd be like, yeah. Several days after Valentine's Day, Michael brings a Valentine's balloon bouquet to Jane at her office. She tries to call security on him, but his lawyer has said that if he doesn't have Jane's support in court, the jury will crucify him. Turns out Jane has no interest in being his Silda Spitzer, and everyone thinks he has a thick skin, but he would never bounce back from losing Jane, he says, having already lost her, like, a bunch of times. When we see Michael next, he is knocking on a hotel room door, which is answered by Audrey. She says he's late, and he mutters that he had another fight with Jane. She's sorry, but then grabs him by the back of the head, and they start making out. What could this possibly mean? We're not going to find out until next week. Then it's our A-plot. Dad McBride comes to visit the McBros. Lexi inconveniently finds her soulmate, and Peter tries to hamper Eve's ascendant career. Ryan is loitering by the mailboxes when Jane stomps out past him, having just heard about Michael's suspension. This is when we see an older dude also watched her leave, and Ryan is like, Dad? Because this is, in fact, Mac McBride, played by John Reilly, a.k.a. Kelly Taylor's canonical father. Mac wanted to surprise Ryan, who says he did, and no, there's no occasion, since when does he need one to come see his boys? Which, I don't know, man. Kyle's been living here for like 2 years, and we have never seen you before. Ryan points out Kyle's door and tries to get going, and when Mac is all, what's your hurry? Ryan's like, I have work, and it's very Cats in the Cradle. Ryan adds that Kyle got remarried. Mac knows that, right? And Mac's like, we keep in touch, but not too pointedly. It's a nice acting choice from Riley, since obviously Ryan would also know that he and Mac do not keep in touch. Mac asks Ryan to come home from work early so they can have a few beers, and Ryan most definitely does not agree. Upstairs, Kyle and Amanda are once again kind of awkward around each other, having a polite fight about which of them will make breakfast. When there is a knock, Amanda promises to get rid of whoever it is, but clip four.
Wow, you're not too hard to look at, are you?
Who the hell are you?
Pop?
Ha ha! That's my number one son, huh?
Good to see you.
You must be Amanda. I'm Mac McBride.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you.
No. My pleasure. You know, now that Kyle has finally found himself a real lady, let's hope it makes him a real gentleman.
And what would you know about being a real gentleman?
Hey, take a lesson, Kyle.
What are you doing here?
Your mom. She went to visit her sister, and you know how much I love that charming gal. So I figured I'd come see you.
You know what? I'm going to give Ryan a call. I'll get him up here.
No, forget it. I already ran into him. He had to run off, jumping through hoops for some slave-driving boss.
That would be me.
No, say that ain't so.
Ryan is one of my key players. I couldn't run my company without him.
It takes a strong hand to run a company.
I know my way around the boardroom.
How about a bedroom? You got a bun in the oven yet?
Come on, Pop.
Wait.
Come on, what are you doing?
No,
stop.
Not yet, but we're working on it.
I never doubted that, darling. Now, if you could point me toward the head, I'd clean up pretty good, like a real gent.
It cannot be overstated how instantly charmed Amanda is by his whole deal. Like, she is putty in his hands. She loves this guy. It's kind of strange.
Yeah. It is weird. Like, there's a line right after this where it's like, she's like, I like him. I'm like, he showed up without calling and was an intrusive chode immediately. Mm-hmm. You, as written, do not like that. I certainly don't.
Yeah. Also, you can't tell us all this backstory of like, we talk, Kyle and his dad talk all the time. This is perfect war hero son, blah, blah, blah. And not have like a picture of him around that Amanda's seen. Like, they've never gone to visit him. I mean, I guess they have had a very dramatic wedding, so they haven't had a lot of time to, like, go to Boston. But still, like, Kyle doesn't have a photo album somewhere to be like, this is the rest of my family? Like, it wouldn't make more sense if, you know, Megan doesn't know what Ryan's dad looks like because Ryan hates him. But right. This is strange.
It is.
Amanda tells Kyle that she likes Mac, as we heard, and Kyle fondly says he's always been able to lean on Mac, and now Kyle thinks everything's gonna be okay. And then former co-conspirators have an uncomfortable moment as Amanda stops by for the rent, and Eve tells her that Peter mailed it, but then Amanda asks to come in. She wishes she hadn't encouraged Eve to lie to Peter about her past, which, as Eve notes, is not exactly an apology. Amanda testily says she's admitting she made a mistake, and Eve kind of smirks, and Amanda rolls her eyes and apologizes properly, if not very sincerely. Eve takes responsibility for her part in all this, and they hug, and Amanda will never come between Eve and Peter again. Oh, I wish you would. At Lexi's fake office.
Please do.
Yep. Megan admits to Lexi that Ryan's suspicions forced her to tell Ryan about their matchmaking scheme. Lexi takes it as poorly as any of us would expect, so Megan softens the blow by presenting a photo of Bachelor number 3, Gary Johnson, who works in pharmaceuticals and is not the former New Mexico governor who ran for president as a libertarian, although they do spell their names the same way. And the photo that she has of this guy is fully, like, just this actor's headshot, which, like, no yep. normal person has a photo of themselves that looks like this.
No. But, I mean, so is Ryan's in
sure.
this plot line.
Yes,
so, yeah.
true. But yes, just absolutely no effort of anyone other than the guy who looked like Will Arnett to be like, just get a snapshot of like that someone already has. No, it's no. Use the card that we already have from when they auditioned. Anyway, Lexi is meeting Gary at the corny fucking old stage bar tonight because Megan told Ryan that she wouldn't do any more surrogate dating. Clip 5.
You're meeting him at the stage bar tonight. Correction, you're meeting him at the stage bar tonight. Remember our little deal? You milk the cow, I get the cream.
Ew.
Ew. Just, could Lexi just please go away? Mm-hmm. Could she please just be poochied? I can't anymore. It's so tiring.
It truly is. Megan tries to compromise by offering to double date with Ryan, but as soon as Lexi agrees, Megan remembers that she and Ryan have dinner plans with Max, so they'll have to push drinks with Gary to the next night, and that's Valentine's Day! Awkward! When Ryan gets to Kyle's that night and sees the rest of their party already seated, he immediately tries to flee, but Megan is excited to join the family dinner, and just as charmed as Amanda was when Max starts flirting with her, clip 6.
Whoa, another knockout. You sure don't look like a librarian.
Why would I?
Well, this kid wastes his entire life in a library. I thought that's the only kind of woman he'd ever meet.
Real men don't read books.
Well, if you want to spend the rest of your life hunched over a desk,
go right ahead.
It's better than spending it hunched over a pool table like you and your drinking buddies.
Hey, guys, can you just relax?
Hey, don't look at me. Kid's all in a twist. Must be that time of the month, huh?
Hey, it was just a joke.
We don't leave. Let's start the evening over and order dinner.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Why is ordering dinner going to paper it over? Also, go fuck yourself, Mac. Seriously.
For real. I mean, I assume that when she's like, let's order dinner, like not more drinks, that she's like, let's soak up some of what he's already drunk. Alas, whatever they order is not enough, because we rejoin them a few scenes later after Mac has apparently had a few and offers Ryan a free compliment. Clip 7.
Moving out here next door to your big brother was the smartest thing you ever did.
Mm. So he could keep an eye on his little brother. That's quite a compliment, Dad.
I can't
win. Ryan, that's not what he said.
You know what? It was kind of patronizing.
It's a library word.
You know what? Why don't you check on the dinner and put a fire under Mario?
Good idea.
So, Mac, I hear you were a Marine.
Ah, you're always a Marine, darling. It's a way of life, code to live by.
Semper Fi speech.
You're always true to your buddies, which means you never rent them out like you did with your partner.
You're talking about his Wall Street partner. He was breaking the law.
The law is a man never turns in his friends.
Oh, so Ryan's not a man, is that what you're saying? I find him caring, responsible, successful, and you should try being proud of him instead of tearing him down all the time. Unless, of course, you're just too threatened because he's more educated than you.
Megan, that's hardly helpful.
No, man, it's all right. Unlike some people at this table, I don't need a woman to defend me.
And I don't need your permission to leave this table. I'm sorry, Amanda.
So am I.
I mean, I'll give them credit. They are writing this in a very believably cringy, awful way. I think they are doing a nice job with this. And obviously most of this is John Reilly. It's certainly not fucking whatever the name is. If the guy who plays Ryan, I don't even know because I don't care. Like,
oh, yeah, I don't either. Smiley? Oh, wait, no.
It's three names. I don't know what they are. James Newton Howard. Nope, that's a composer.
Philip Baker Hall. Oh, no.
Anyway.
John Wilkes Booth? Wait, no.
It's Sarah Michelle Gellar, and now we can move on. Anyway, yeah. I believe, like, I think they're doing a good job with laying in the backstory. Like, you can feel the years of resentment that have built up because this guy is such a dick.
Yeah, and John Reilly is very good at, like, that surface charming but actually toxically gross guy. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That was his whole thing on General Hospital for years and years, and I'm here for it. So, and he's also able to invert that. So, yeah, he's doing great, but this is, like, gross, like, mm-hmm. to an almost too verite degree. And it's like, you know, it's season 7, right? Just phone it in. That's what everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm. Hibby. After Ryan and Megan have left the table, Amanda quietly tells Mac it seems like he makes Ryan feel like a failure just for being different from Mac. And then it's time for some parenting tips from the world's greatest dad, clip 8.
You know, Amanda, someday you're going to find this out. That when you're raising boys, you got to toughen them up. Some figure it out. Others, psh.
All I know is in business, when you play two competitors against each other, sometimes they both turn on you.
What does a woman know about business, 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 business? Well, funny you should ask.
Yeah. Also, when I said James Newton Howard, I was close. It's John Hames Newton.
You could be making that up, you realize, and I would just believe you because I don't care to check. Mm-hmm. Thank you for looking.
Outside, Ryan is still seething. Megan agrees that it was bad, but he says it was nothing compared to dinners when they were growing up. Megan hopes she didn't make things worse, but Ryan says Mac has never cared about him. Being the first member of the family to go to college didn't impress Mac when he had Kyle the war hero to brag about. Ryan works himself up until he punches a car window and improbably shatters it. And as Megan cradles his hand, Ryan wishes he could stop caring what Mac thinks of him. Megan telling him off just now was the first time anyone has ever stood up for him and made him feel like he wasn't alone. And that is very sad. That's a rough one.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The next day, Ryan comes to the agency to tell Amanda he has to get out of town for a couple of days, so he rescheduled his next FaceWorks meeting in New York. But Mac wants to throw a surprise party for Kyle's birthday the next day, and Ryan snits that he should have known that was why Mac came to town. Amanda, not really asking, says he will reschedule his meeting, but Ryan says that if he comes to the party, he's going to ruin it. When Amanda mentions the hard time Kyle is going through, Ryan sniffs that having his biggest fan around should help. Amanda thought Ryan would notice and be concerned about how much Kyle was drinking the previous night. But, I mean, A, I don't know how anyone would notice that when Mac was drinking the entire restaurant. Ryan doesn't say that. He says he was not really thinking about Kyle, and they go on clip 9.
For what it's worth, I think your father was way out of line. I mean, it's like he's a different man when he's drinking.
Yeah. Mean, abusive, and get used to it, Amanda, because Kyle's headed down the same road.
Don't give up on your brother. He really needs you right now. Please?
Okay, I'll stay. For Kyle.
I don't know when she's like, he really needs you right now, like, and for what? Like, Kyle is not taking any responsibility that she knows of for any of his substance use. Like, she doesn't know about the pills that got flushed. He is still drinking. It's not like he has made any commitment to say, I'm going to stop or I'm even going to try. Mm-hmm. Like, right. he was drinking last night. Like, okay, he needs you to what? Like, what is anyone doing in this situation that isn't Kyle? And what is Kyle doing other than continuing what he already was doing when he was having a hard time when you were apart?
And are you hoping that Ryan is going to convince him to, like, get treatment or wise up or whatever? Like, right. That's not how it works, and it's completely out of character for you, Amanda. Yep.
And then it's the big Valentine's double date at the Stage Bar. Megan tries to keep the conversation going by telling Gary that he and Lexi have Ohio in common. He went to Oberlin, which, did he? Doesn't have that look.
No, it's a couple Baja tops short of a convincing Oberlin try, but okay.
Mm-hmm. When she hears he was in the class of 92, Lexi comments that he's still young enough to last all night, and he looks more afraid than titillated. Lexi ignores his visible misgivings and asks directly, can he last all night? And he just laughs uncomfortably until Ryan changes the subject to Gary's love of travel and rudely comments that he must be doing well. Lexi even more rudely says, of course he is, or he wouldn't have made it this far. And Megan's like, let's all go dance on the floor. Ryan says Lexi's blowing it with Gary. Let's pan over to her and her date and see if that's true. Clip 10.
You know, Valentine's Day rolls around, and I think, oh, God, another year without someone special in my life. Hmm. I was really looking forward to meeting you.
Well, what do you think? Am I everything you ever hoped for in a woman or what?
I admire your initiative, going after what you want.
Well, honey, why don't you admire this?
Puts her hand on his ass.
You know what? I was trying to take tonight seriously, but obviously it's just one big joke to you. You know, do me a favor. Next time, find someone else to be your punchline.
Buddy. Maybe he went to the bathroom. Or not. I'm going to go talk to him.
Why?
Yeah, leave him alone. He's an adult.
He's been through enough, I think.
Yes, he was just sexually harassed in the middle of the stage bar. When Megan takes off, Lexi drapes herself all over Ryan, who guesses that Lexi tanked it with Gary on purpose. She neither confirms nor denies it, so Ryan adds that she never let Gary see the real her. She sarcastically says, guys, walk out on the real her, and Ryan says, clip 11.
Now, why are you selling yourself short? I mean, you can be difficult, but you can also be exciting and passionate, crazy, and I know you have a vulnerable side. You let a guy see that, he'll never forget you.
There was a thanks in there, and it's so quiet. I don't even know if it made it. I heard it when I cut the clip. I'm not sure if I heard it just now, but anyway, she thanks him. Just when it seems like they might kiss, Megan comes back and asks what Lexi was thinking with Gary. Lexi tells her not to start and excuses herself so that Megan and Ryan can be alone for what's left of their Valentine's Day. Megan should not let this great guy go, but then she watches them kiss from the edge of the dance floor and looks stricken. At the rock and roll club, Eve's putting on her makeup when Peter stops in to give her flowers for Valentine's Day, and she tells him about a gig that she's about to have in San Francisco with the band for a couple of days. Peter immediately starts yelping about it, but she assures him that she got her parole officer's permission. But that's not the issue, and he tries to guilt her about needing to spend time together at Newlyweds given what they've just been through. But she reminds him that she's also just been through 15 years of incarceration and needs to let loose sometimes. Peter snits that he'll just wait for her at home. Hey, buddy, I know what you can do while she's gone. Play some fucking golf, perhaps. Why don't you? Seems like that's something you enjoy. When Eve takes the stage, Kyle calls Peter over to meet his dad at a moment when both McBrides seem pretty well lubricated. Mac comments that Peter looks too uptown to be a friend of Kyle's in his leather jacket and jeans. Does he just mean Kyle has never had a friend who is blonde? Kyle then tells Mac about Peter's history with Amanda, and Mac can't believe they're all friends. Also, Peter's Kyle's doctor and is married to Kyle Singer, and before Mac can say it, Peter growls that it's all very LA. When Mac wanders off, Peter pouts at Kyle about giving Eve time off for the San Francisco gig, and Kyle's like, unless you have a problem with it, which, like, you would refuse to give an employee time off if her jealous husband told you to? Cool. Peter complains that he is a newlywed watching his wife go out of town with a group of social misfits, but Kyle thinks she can handle herself. Clip 12.
Oh, really? She'll just be able to handle it, huh? Just like you.
What does that mean?
It means you're not the type of person that can tell somebody how to take care of themselves. First you quit the pills, and then you get right back on with the booze here.
Office hours are over, Doc. That takes care of that.
Here, have another one. I'll send the bill to your widow.
Ooh.
Pilgrim. Every now and then there's just this John Wayne lazy delivery that, like, he gets away with it because he's Jack Wagner, but barely.
Yeah. The next day at her fake office, Lexi announces that she's ready for her next date. Megan doesn't think she should jump right back in, actually, because Lexi has a bad attitude and should take some time off. But every day that goes by, Lexi gets a little more empty inside, and there soon won't be anything left for Mr. Wright, and she's sure he's somewhere on Megan's list. Megan says Lexi will have to find him herself because Megan won't repeat last night. Lexi turns on Megan and stomps out, and Megan takes it because she is, what, a doormat. Mm-hmm. And then we're at the Dreamhouse building site as Kyle shows Mac around. And you know before we say it, of course, Mac is a know-it-all about construction and lectures Kyle about staying on top of the crew. When Mac comments that it'll be a great place for their kids to grow up, clip 13.
Oh, your kids, they're part of you. That is the strongest love you'll ever know. It's like a holy feeling. It ties them to you and back to me.
I don't know if that's ever gonna happen.
Of course it is. You're young. You have plenty of time.
Pop, did you hear about the Gulf War vets? About a lot of them getting sick when they came home?
Yeah, sure. A bunch of crybabies, most of them. Because if they were really sick...
Something happened to me over there.
Why would you tell him this? Why would you tell him anything?
Because he's the son that Mac likes, I guess, we're supposed to think, but hesitantly... Kyle tells Mac what Peter told him about his sterility, and even this great Santini-ass motherfucker's like, see a specialist and tell your wife. Those are the only good parts, however, because he also says when parents adopt, that's not your kid, that's someone else's mistake, and that Kyle is afraid to tell Amanda, because when she finds out Kyle is only half a man, she will dump him. So still mostly trash, in case you were concerned that he had a complete face turn. No, he's still a bad man.
Mm-hmm. Very.
That night, Eve is getting ready for the surprise party when Peter comes home unexpectedly and says he realized he shouldn't let his beautiful wife go alone. She's so happy he decided to come, but he has an ulterior motive. Clip 14.
Might have slipped your mind, but that foundation dinner's tomorrow night, so.
Oh, well, I'll be in San Francisco tomorrow night with the band.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's a very important dinner.
Well, it's a really important gig. This is going to open up a whole bunch of new things for us. What's going on? Are you giving me a guilt trip?
No. Mom, I was just hoping that...
Were you hoping that you were going to be able to use the foundation dinner as an excuse to keep me from leaving town?
I don't know. I feel a little silly here, you know? I don't want you to go. And I love you, all right? I don't want the honeymoon to be over yet.
The honeymoon is not over.
It is for me. Could you two break up? Nobody gives a shit. Also, isn't she on the board? Didn't she plan this fucker?
Yeah, that's right. She should be even more involved after Lexi quit about the newsletter slight.
Yeah.
Anyway, then they start fooling around, which, like, go slow. Heat up runtime. We love to see it. Take your time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the courtyard, Amanda's waiting at the bottom of the stairs when Kyle returns. Before she says anything, he admits he's been drinking, and she's like, no duh. He says he needs to start facing facts, but before he can say what that means, Amanda says that Mac is up there waiting for them, and she just needs Kyle to help her come up with an excuse that will buy them an hour alone together. But Kyle is not up for hijinks and schemes right now. He has something to tell her. She has something to tell him, and she has to go first. But actually, it's going to be neither of them, because that's when Mac pokes his head out and calls him upstairs to Kyle's surprise party. And I have not always loved what Rob Estes has been doing with this storyline, but here I appreciate that he does really seem like holding his shit together is causing him physical stress. You can see that in the visual aids. Mm-hmm. Also, I know we already talked about them, but Michael and Jane are standing next to each other, seeming perfectly cordial, which, okay.
Yeah, I had a note about that, too. Like, oh, did we shoot this earlier? Mm-hmm. Sure. But even then, that doesn't make any sense. Great.
No. Mac produces a photo from one of Kyle's childhood birthdays with Ryan in a cowboy hat, and Ryan sadly remembers that it belonged to Kyle, who let Ryan wear it until Mac made him give it back. Jesus! Eve asks Peter to break the ice by talking to Amanda. He curtly tells her not to push it. The director remembers that the Mancinis aren't speaking as Michael plops down on the couch next to Jane and she immediately gets up. And at the makeshift bar, Megan inquires as to what their problem is and Jane tells her about the trial. Peter asks about Michael's interview at a St. Emery's, but apparently they are also a bunch of killjoys when it comes to nurse fucking. And as he wanders off, Amanda ends up next to Peter, says she's glad he came. He only did it for Eve. They start relitigating how bad it was for Amanda to let Eve serve time for both of them, and clip 15.
I was 17. I did the best I could. I'm sorry if I screwed up.
That is about the lamest I'm sorry I have ever heard.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, how about this? I am sorry that I ever introduced you to Eve. I'm sorry that I helped her fall in love with you, and I'm really sorry that I stood by her side when you got married.
You pretty much covered it all there, didn't you? Hmm? Okay. Apology accepted.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the fight to continue. That does seem like a quick resolution, but I'm not going to be too upset about it.
No.
As Amanda and Peter make up, physically joshing around, Max stands by the door with Kyle, commenting that something is going on between Amanda and Peter. Eve comes over to excuse herself so she can get on the road, and Mac draws that she should bring Peter with her if she can drag him away from Amanda. Like, if that was supposed to make her jealous, Eve's like, oh, good, they made up, which is very funny.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
And glib 16.
You'll have a kid, all right, Kyle, but don't expect him to look like a McBride, huh?
Are you enjoying your party?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You got a one of a kind here, Amanda. God made my boy and then broke the mold.
Dad, take it easy. You're drinking a little bit too much.
What's going on?
Hey, we need more coffee filters, and the native is getting restless. Excuse
me. Okay. I'll show you. Come here.
I don't know what happened, but you and the Marines came back half a man.
I told you to lay off of me.
Oh, it's about to get worse.
Yep.
Believe it or not, Mac joins Ryan in the kitchen, telling him to marry Megan and give him a couple of grandchildren. Amanda tells Mac not to rush Ryan. She and Kyle will handle babies, but Mac ignores her, and clip 17.
Are you packing a punch, Ryan? Are you always going to be my little girl, huh?
Mac, what's your problem?
It's okay, Amanda. His problem's leaving right now.
God, this fucking guy is so uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Oh, so when Ryan flees the party, he runs into Kyle downstairs, who says he can't take any more of Mac's horseshit tonight, cueing a fight between them as to which of them has it worse. Ryan gets to do whatever he wants since Mac doesn't expect anything of him. Ryan thinks it must be real tough for Kyle being the perfect son. That's when Kyle finally succeeds in punching Ryan hard in the gut, and a scuffle ensues in which they fall into the pool, and it seems like they're both ready to keep punching, but Ryan's the one to stop it, and when they get out on opposite sides, he wishes Kyle a happy birthday, but sarcastically.
Ooh.
The next day, Peter is pouring himself coffee into a cup on a funky patterned saucer. You can see this in the visual aids with, like, first of all, a saucer. Second of all, that saucer? This guy?
Yeah.
Amanda comes to the door at Eve's request. Peter promises he's no longer worried about her traveling with the band, and then Eve calls to ask him to come to the late show that night, but he can't because of the foundation dinner. He promises to come to the next one for sure, and then makes sure that she got her own hotel room. When Peter says her emissary is there, Eve tells them both how happy she is that they all made up and that she loves them. And standing so close to Peter to hear Eve makes Amanda act shy around him, and she takes off, saying she'll see him at the dinner later, and he watches her go looking tense. Everyone's upset because they should be together for the 5 millionth time. Why must we keep saying this into a void and the time machine? Over to Lexi's fake office, where the IT guy's firing up the dating program he designed, which is how she finds out her perfect match is Ryan. Ralph innocently comments that Megan told him to delete Ryan, who has popped up a couple of times. Lexi, sure, there's a mistake, but no, he's a 99% match. And then Amanda and Peter are leaving the dinner. A donor has been extremely overserved, but since he has pledged $50,000, Amanda and Peter will help him back to his hotel room. Just then, Lexi is leaving a business dinner when she sees them at the front desk, innocently getting this guy's room key. Not that Lexi can tell that from across the lobby. And when she gets closer and sees Peter playing with the room key, it looks even worse. Speaking of even worse, in the office at the Rock and Roll Club, Kyle has just downed a shot when Ryan comes to apologize for the previous night. Kyle is sorry too, and they both agree Mac makes them crazy, which is, of course, when he enters with a six-pack and accuses them of avoiding him. Ryan immediately tries to get out of the poker game Mac imposes on them, but Kyle implores him to stay, and clip 18.
I raise you two.
Okay, two. I think that you're bluffing, Ryan. I think you got a handful of nothing.
You should know, Kyle.
Shut up, okay?
You mouth off to me like that again, and I'm gonna smack you right in your face. And you, you're gonna make me a promise, kid. You promise me that you come up with the goods, keep my name alive, because it's all on you now, huh?
I am warning you, Dad, don't do this.
Why? What are you gonna do, Kyle? Not a damn thing, because you don't have any guts. You can't even look your wife in the eye and tell her you're shooting blank.
Is it true, Kyle?
Yeah, it's true. Your brother's a gelding.
Get off me, Ryan. This isn't your fight.
Why?
So you can kill him? He's still our father, Kyle. Get up. I'm gonna take you to my place. I'm really sorry about your problem, Kyle, but you're gonna have to learn how to handle it better than this. You ought to think about heading back to Boston.
At least you're doing something, Kyle.
Come on, Dad.
It's something.
Jesus! Get this guy out of here!
Oh my God.
I mean, he's good. He's like, he's making this storyline work, but it's too rough for the show. This is like Mad Men shit.
Yeah, and like, also, Jesus, like, a gelding? Who talks like this? Ugh, yeah. Bye.
Also, you can see in the visual aids that the person who gets punched is certainly not John Riley. And I'm going to assume this guy normally doubles Peter because he has the same hair as you can see when you pause it. He's about to fall.
Bruce.
Looking like Mac McBride at all.
No.
That's where we leave it for this week. Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. Megan, for sticking up for Ryan, having a lot more balls than fucking Amanda did.
The lady who took custody of the balloons when nobody wanted them at Michael and Jane's scene, she was just like, fine. And she was like, so what do I do with these? It was good.
Least valuable player. Mac. Bad man.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not Mac. Close. Mm-mm.
Next time on Again With This, Michael and Audrey scheme and counter-scheme. The boringest people on the show all get siloed in a work trip fiasco plot, although unfortunately they're probably all coming back alive, and Kyle sets his life on fire. Literally. You'll probably want to take a match to the 90s fashions in our visual aids. You can find those for this and every episode of Again With This at againwiththispodcast.com. And don't forget to check out our club page. There is a literal ton of extra 90210 and Melrose content for Patreon supporters. And you can hang out with us / your fellow listeners on our dedicated Discord. So go to againwiththispodcast.com/club for more information. I'm the not-so-great Santini, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is umpteenth problematic San Francisco work trip, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, packs a punch. Not like that, though. Talk to you next time.
Kiss my butt.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.